Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Rudy Salazar. Now joined by John Sunvold. John, good morning. How are you?
Stephen, Nate, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing very well. John, you'd be proud of me. I showed great restraint and discipline. In all honesty, it all happened too fast because I didn't have a chance. But, you know, I'm sitting there. I was waiting like the whole last 10 minutes of the game at Florida, thinking.
Isn't it kind of disappointing, though, John? Like, don't you feel
it's not disappointing.
I think these guys
I'm proud of myself.
No.
Because I'm watching and I'm thinking, okay, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? And then we get to the under four timeout. I go, okay, there's not going to be a big run by Florida. There's no collapse here. Mizzou's came to close this thing out. Then, of course, after getting up an 8-0 run by Florida to tie the game, and then it was Mizzou. 18 seconds left, last possession. I didn't have time to fire off any texts, although John, I wanted to. I desperately wanted, but I didn't. So I'd like you to be happy with that. But my goodness, one shot changed everything. Can you imagine if they'd have blown that 8-point lead and then lost in overtime because Tillman fouled out? But instead, you know, Konzo making the play call and Drew Smith saving the day. That one shot changed everything, and boy, was it a big shot, John Sunvold.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Stephen, you'd have made it to work the next day or made it anywhere the next day if you lost that. So, Stephen, I got to tell you, I was with my family. I'm actually in Florida, which has been fun for 3 weeks doing games out of a house in Florida. But so anyway, we were going to go to dinner, and we're watching the end of the game, and my daughter, who's a Mizzou grad, was in from Dallas, and my son, who's from Kansas City, was in, and we're watching the end of the game, and I said to my son, I go, I'll bet Stephen St. John texts me here in any second.
See?
He started laughing. He said, why would he text you? I said, just wait. He's going to text me. But anyway, hey, what a shot and play by Drew Smith. I mean, unbelievable. Just to make the play. Yeah, it was an odd ending, which, you know, we get used to that. But got a spectacular play by Drew Smith. You know, one of those plays, too, that the SEC world, and Florida especially, those watching, the writers and whomever, you know, maybe Drew Smith gets his due, maybe his first team. You know, that play helps, but the way he played the entire game. For some reason, again, Missouri's on the outskirts of that SEC media and the way everybody watches a game. But, you know, because Florida is Florida and where they are and where they are in the rankings, all those things, and Drew was terrific. So maybe that gets him to be on the first team. I don't know that because, let's be honest, there's a ton of guards in the SEC, they're very good, so they can't all be first team. But we know Drew Smith's an all-league player, whether it's first or second team. But I know Konzo's pushed hard for him, and what a way to end the night! So it was fun. It was really fun for us as we were heading out to go have a dinner.
And across the board, you talk about, you know, he scored 17 points, including the game winner. He had 6 steals, 9 assists, and only 1 turnover. I mean, 6 steals. I mean, every coach would love that, but Konzo's got to love that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, what's great about Drew, the only downside, some guys who steal a lot, sometimes you get in foul trouble once in a while, you reach, but that's the trade-off because he's so good with his hands, he's so good at locking the best scorers up. I don't think he'll be Defensive Player of the Year, but I could see where some of us who have watched enough basketball could make him that. I've seen them, you know, when he locks up different scores from different teams and they have, like, their worst outings, that says a lot about Drew Smith. And kind of like a good cornerback in football, you take away something. Like, you take away the side of a field or a great receiver. You know, Drew Smith's been able to take away great scores or at least make them take tons of shots to get their points, and you know he does it night in, night out, and he's a quiet guy. He does his business. I know Konzo and the staff love him, and like I said, I hope he gets his due. It'd be great if he's first team. He probably deserves it. He'll be on the all-defensive team, and, you know, we'll see how that goes out. But it was, you know, he had a performance that was terrific. And the other part I thought is what Missouri's good at when they're good defensively, and sometimes they haven't been. Even though Kobe Brown got in foul trouble, Tillman, Brown, Mitchell Smith, they make it hard for teams to score inside. You can go back and watch the Illinois film, watch the Florida game. Kaufman, he had really nothing. They couldn't get to the rim. If you have a team like that defensively, if they're all on the same page, if the guards aren't getting beat off the dribble, and you're solid inside down low, I mean, you're tough. Missouri's tough to beat. I mean, they're really, really good, and we've seen them when they're not. But let's just take a look at, like, you go in the SEC tournament. They are the only team that's beaten the best teams in this league, Alabama, Arkansas, and they got a chance to beat LSU coming up on Saturday. And, I mean, those in Florida. So those are the top four teams that are seeded. And if Missouri pulls that off, I mean, now you go, okay, why can't they win the SEC tournament and be really good in the NCAA? They can be. They can be. They really can be.
Nate Ducati.
All right, I do have a question for you about the actual team, but first I want to go back to Steven's lack of a text message here, John, because I look at it this way. We're in March now. You know, you want your team peaking at the right time, and in order for that to happen, everybody's got to know their role and embrace their role, and because then your teammates know what to expect from you. You're expecting a text message from Steven. Jarrett Sutton's expecting a text message from Steven.
You want me to say it? I melted down in the final minute.
That's what I'm getting at here.
I melted down in the final minute. You know, I'm going to wear it. I'm going to own it. And it was my fault.
These guys are counting on this from you, Steven. And John, the thing is, like, when you got a shooter on your team, he's got to be a ready shooter, right? He's got to have his feet set, his hands ready, that when the pass comes to him, it doesn't catch him off guard. I feel like Steven wasn't a ready shooter. And don't you think that's got to get corrected before the postseason starts?
Hey, Nate, when he caught it, I was going weak side for the rebound. Because normally under pressure, he's a little strong. He's a little strong with the shot. I was going weak side for that rebound. And when he didn't put it up, I'm thinking, did he have a turnover? Did he call timeout? What's going on out there? So, yeah, when I said to my son, my son Wilson, he's 28 years old, big Kansas City guy. And I said, hey, Steven's going to text me. He goes, well, he won't. Now I go, no, yeah, he will. It's coming. But, hey, Nate, we ran a double screen for him, and, you know, he passed up the shot. We may not put him in the end of the game next time.
That was my fault. Listen, I'll be honest. I was so pissed off when Tillman fouled out. When he fouled out, and then Florida got to shoot free throws to tie it, and I was like, I don't think I can watch the end of this. I was watching with my wife. She goes, just shut up and watch it. I go, did you see? Because like it was the worst thing. Like everything happened in one play. He fouls out. Drew Smith missed the shot. They get the free throws. They tie the game. Now there's no Tillman. But I mean that was a lot to overcome because like honestly, John, if they'd have gone to overtime, I don't know what their mood would have been, and especially without Tillman. And so I keep going back to that shot, man. That shot was that might have saved everything right there.
Yeah, and think of this, Stephen. You know, I think, and again, my memory is not always good, but they're up eight, and Tillman gets a ball on the block and makes an unbelievable spin move. Unbelievable, but then he missed the shot.
Yep.
And and then Florida goes down, lays it in, and maybe it was six, goes to four, but it was a 4-point swing. Up until then, you're like they're in control, and when he made the spin move, I'm like, oh, what a move. And then he missed it. And then they go the other way, and all of a sudden they're going like, okay, wait a second. Now we're at four, now we're at two. Then there's the miss of the shot and the foul, and he fouls out. You know, maybe we were lucky, the fact that the foul's called, Florida goes and shoots two free throws, so they don't have the ball. Like, maybe if there wasn't the penalty or bonus, they would have come down, let's say, scored. Now you go to overtime. Instead, they make the two free throws. We have final possession, and you really get the last shot. Wasn't sure what it was going to be since the previous play was a little crazy. Guys didn't take shots when they had them. But, you know, Drew, that's a – I'm not sure to say it's a year saver, but it's a game changer. You win a game. The emotion in a locker room – and what it does compared to if you lose that and they lost a few games that way over the year. I mean, it's night and day difference. And the finish that Drew made with three guys jumping at him and he goes up underneath the bucket, not many more difficult shots than that one, even though people would say, yeah, but it's a layup. No, it's not a normal layup in the circumstance. And three guys jumping and a couple guys that can block it didn't block it. And all of a sudden, Missouri has a win. And you could see the emotion on the court by the players and by Konzo when the ball went in. It's always fun to watch Konzo on the sideline. And he's not one to lay back his emotions and sit back and, just be an old stoic coach. So it should have, it has, you think, big things going forward. We'll see how they play tomorrow. That's a different kind of game. LSU is this talented, crazy offensive team that sometimes doesn't guard anybody. So maybe the game will be in the 90s, which will be entertaining.
So you talked about Konzo's reaction right on the court. I thought it was really interesting listening to his post-game, John, because he sounded in some ways almost a little frustrated because the team was so aggressive in that game. It's like my analogy I made earlier this week was, it's like when you're, one of the frustrating things about golf is when you hit a great golf shot, you almost get mad because you know you can't do that every time. Like, why can't I keep hitting it just like that? It was so easy. And with Konzo, it was like, it sounded to me like he was saying, man, when we play aggressive, 18 points off 18 turnovers, and when we attack the basket on offense, we can be this good. Why don't we do this all the time? And I don't know if there is an answer to it, but maybe is the answer to that question going to determine what kind of a march it is for this Missouri team?
Yeah, great observation, Nate. And it's true. I mean, Konzo, coach, he wants what they were that night every time. We've seen it. That's the thing about it. We've seen it. We have seen this team, and really they build it on the defensive end. They've got enough offensive weapons. But we've also seen teams that pick them apart, right? Ole Miss and Mississippi State in the second half, just different games where you go, what's going on? But to be honest, that's players, that's 20 to 22-year-old players or 18 to 22-year-old kids. Not every night's the same. Not every game's the same. And the other team has something to do with it if they're shooting lights out. But, I think what Konzo was saying, when we're like that, and that was kind of what he said really after the Tennessee game. After the Tennessee win, Konzo said, now that's a top 10 team right there, talking about his own team. And, we've they've had the biggest wins of almost anybody in the country, to be honest. So that's the upside. I mean, that's the thing you probably kind of hang your hat on, that this team's got a chance to do, great things if it's there and night in, night out, if that defense wins it. Now you basically start next week. I think they got a chance to win the SEC tournament. I think they got a chance to be a Final Four team, depending on the bracket, depending how it looks, shakes out. But if they do all those things the way they did it against Florida and against all those teams I mentioned before, there's pretty good hope. It'll keep guys like Steven on the ledge, though, because there'll be moments when they don't quite do that.
Let me tell you something, John. Between the Chiefs and Mizzou and everything else, I never come off the ledge. I live up there. All right? I'm good to go. I'm there right now. And this show also. Doing a show with Nate, he's got me on the ledge
That's right. At all times.
So
that's right.
I'm very comfortable right here. John, how does Mizzou match up with LSU?
Well, those of you who have seen LSU will know, and those of you who haven't, LSU is sometimes a brilliant offensive team. We call them the Fabulous Four or the Big Four or whatever. Starts with a kid, the freshman Cam Thomas, who I believe, because I just did their game on Tuesday night, I think he had 23, so that would be 9 straight games over 20. He is a scorer / shooter. I mean, he's not going to really pass it. Reminds you sometimes of a high school kind of score. I mean, and he's going to look to score. So, therefore, him, Javonte Smart is fabulous at point guard. Good Wade Bolt. He's a good defender. Great scorer himself. Trenton Watford is their big man that plays like a guard. Averages, I think, nearly 4 assists 16 points, 7 rebounds. He can bring the ball. He's 6'10". And then Darius Days is probably their X factor. When he doesn't get involved and shoot and score, they're not as good. But when he does, they average 80-plus points a game. They're fun to watch. Sometimes they don't guard as well on the defensive end. And I believe their win on Tuesday night locked them into one of the final four spots next week in the SEC for the double bye. So they don't necessarily have to win on Saturday. I hope they play well, because I would love to see an entertaining game that's just up there, like high 80s, low 90s, just back and forth, and let the athletes go at it, because LSU is fun to watch. When they're playing well. When they're not, you kind of shake. The LSU fans would know this. You shake your head a little bit sometimes with LSU. You just can't quite figure them out as a team.
Hey, John, I'm curious just for your perspective on what we saw last night in Lawrence. Steven asked me, you know, if I was concerned by the way KU played, being down by 15 in the second half to a mediocre Conference USA team. And I basically said, I don't know, because it's such a weird situation. You get through the entire Big 12 season, and then you have this kind of game thrown in right before you go into what's going to be an incredible Big 12 tournament, most likely. So I just don't know how to process it, or even if I should take anything away from it. What would you say to that?
Well, first, can I ask you a question, Nate?
Yeah.
And you guys may know the answer, because I don't know the answer. Do you know why they played that game?
Because Bill Self didn't want to have, what was it going to be like, 11 days between games before they went to the Big 12 tournament? Because they actually did all 18 of their games in the Big 12 on schedule, which they were the only team in the Big 12 to do it. Everybody else in the Big 12 has a game this weekend, pretty much. And so he just didn't want them to be that rusty going into the Big 12 tournament. So it's kind of like almost like a tune-up game, so to speak.
I got you. Okay, so that makes sense. But where it doesn't make sense is to the players, and that's why the game's close. The players, and people don't want to hear this, but the players don't care about UTEP. I mean, let's be honest. It's better than practicing, and coaches go crazy about it. This is who we're playing. They're better than you think, and blah, 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 blah. I saw the score going by as we were at this restaurant, and someone at my table, you know, we were saying, why would they play UTEP? And then three people, one of them a Kansas grad, said, well, what is UTEP? What is UTEP? What's that stand for? And in my mind, I'm thinking that's probably exactly how some of the players are. Not the coaches. The coaches are saying, hey, here's who they are. Here's how good they are. You got to be ready. So I don't ever take anything from it, because players respond to things. You'd love to have a machine of a team that walks out there and just beats the heck out of anybody in front of them, but that's just not reality. And so, you know, the coaches probably got what they wanted out of it, and that is more film stuff to show their guys not how good they aren't. But to the players, again, I just think there's not an excitement to play UTEP on a night that you're not thinking much about it, right? There's just nothing to it. And so you kind of – I don't take anything away from it for Kansas to prepare for the Big 12 tournament and the NCAA tournament. It's just a game. It's just a game. Win or lose, it's just another one you put on the board, and you walk away from it, and coaches can do their thing and go crazy, and players will just kind of shrug their shoulders every time Bill mentions UTEP this week in practice. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. And again, a player's like, it wasn't Oklahoma. It wasn't Baylor. It wasn't, it's not. I take very little from it.
So, John, I know it's different because we're talking about conference teams that Missouri has been playing, but they're 8-2 against teams that are going to be in the NCAA tournament. And the two that they lost to, they split with. So they have defeated every tournament team that they faced on the schedule. But on the other hand, they're 7-5 against teams that aren't going to be in the tournament. So when they play someone good, except for the loss to Illinois, because that loss to Arkansas without Tillman, they went to overtime. That was they played a good basketball game. So when they play someone good with a number in front of them, they show up and they ball out. But when they don't, it's it's not the same team. Is there anything of what you said, is there any of that that can apply to Missouri?
Well, the great thing is they're going to play tournament teams going forward. I mean, that's the
right.
That's the best thing because, you know, they are who they are. I mean, you can't change. You are who you are. And so, yeah, I look at that, too, when I was on a radio show earlier from people from Alabama, with a group from Alabama, and they said, pick your SEC team that could win the tournament and who's going to do great in the NCAA. I said, Missouri. And the guy said, yeah, but you're an alum. I said, no, I'm just – look at their record. They beat good teams, and they are a team that's got all this – all the guys you want to have, everything you have. You got power, you got strength, you got speed, you got shooters. Yeah, and again, there are nights when things just don't quite work that frustrates a fan and frustrates a coaching staff. But for some reason, watching this group of guys, when the game is a game, like when it's, you know, they travel to Florida. There wasn't anybody thought they're going to win at Florida. But they did. I mean, I'm sure the players thought, well, this is when we gear it up. We're going to beat them. And I think they'll play great against LSU tomorrow just because – LSU is LSU. They're one of the four best teams in the league. They've proven it. And so, you know, from this point on, yeah, you've got all tournament teams, right? You're going to be in tournament games. And this kind of team looks like that's what they respond to. The only scary point will be the first round or whatever, the first round matchup in the NCAA. Who do you have? You know, do you have pick a bigger name team versus Liberty or versus someone that's good, but they don't think they're good, right? I want Missouri to play a name school, whether they're good, just a name school, not a small school, not a mid-major that's really good and they don't think they're good. I want Missouri to play a name school, big name, because I think then they'll play just fine.
John Sundvold has been our guest. John, thank you so much for the time. Always great talking basketball with you, and hopefully we can catch up with you next week when we're talking about the SEC tournament, the Big 12 tournament, and eventually Mizzou back in the NCAA tournament. It'll be great.
Anytime. Hey, it's just now the new thing, living on the ledge, man, with Stephen St. John. Living on the ledge. That's what we're going to do.
And I will not fail you again. You expect a text message no matter what the game.
Be a ready shooter, Stephen.
Yeah, I'll be ready during LSU. I will not fail you, all right?
I will wait for that weak side rebound, brother. Just keep it going. Hey, you guys have a great day.